Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. It's a one-hour show tonight. Coming up, the latest on the twists and turns in the Aryan Khan drug investigation. The Narcotics Control Board investigator Sameer Wankhede slams the NCP's Minister Nawab Malik for his tweets and says this is all an effort to scuttle the case. This is reports continue to focus on allegations made about by a witness about an 8 crore payoff to Mr. Wankhede. Huge allegations that. Now, we'll be joined by the lawyer of Prabhakar Sail, the bodyguard of K.P. Goswami. Who was K.P. Goswami? He was that private detective who was first seen taking that selfie with Aryan Khan. Now, Prabhakar Sail, the bodyguard of Mr. Goswami, has made a string of allegations on the larger conspiracy. So we'll be getting to that. We'll be joined by his lawyer. Next up, the filmmaker Prakash Jha was roughed up, his face smeared with ink on Sunday when a group of Bajrang Dal members went on a rampage on the sets of his web series being shot in Bhopal. Now, the Madhya Pradesh Home Minister has defended the action. He says the use of the word ashram in the series is offensive, and on anything controversial, filmmakers need to clear their scripts. So much for the right to expression. Narottam Mishra, the minister, has also meanwhile ordered a probe into Dabur's Fem Bleach ad, which showed a same-sex couple celebrating Karwa Chauth. He apparently has objections to that as well. And finally on the show, a massive intelligence effort to get information on authorized and so-called unauthorized churches in Karnataka ahead of the anti-conversion bill. Is this being done to prevent forced conversions, or is this interference with the matters of the church? Well, let's get straight on to the very latest in the Aryan Khan case. It gets murkier by the day, allegations and counter-allegations. I'm joined by Tushar Khandare, Prabhakar Sail's advocate. Prabhakar Sail, remember, was the bodyguard of K.P. Goswami. Who was K.P. Goswami? Again, he was the detective. He's been spotted in that NCB office. We're joined by Umakant Mishra, former assistant director of the Narcotics Control Bureau, Niranjan Shetty of the BJP, Priyanka Chaturvedi of the Shiv Sena. Thank you all very much for being with us. Tushar Khandare, let me come to you first. One of the key allegations which has been made by Prabhakar Sail is this, that there was an exchange of money which was apparently taking place, which would ultimately have resulted in an 8 crore payoff to Sameer Wankhede. On what basis is your client saying this?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Khandare.
Yeah, I'm concerned with my client, Prabhakar Sail.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, NCB misused him and NCB taking blank 12 pages, his signatures on 12 pages.
No, I'm asking you about something else, sir. I'll come to the 12 pages thing. I'm asking you about the allegation on the transfer of money of 8 crore alleged payoff to Mr. Wankhede was supposed to have taken place. On what basis does Prabhakar Sail say so?
We have that photographs of exchanging of amount with payment backs with concerned persons. Actually, it is Kiran Goswami is clearly shows in the picture and photographs with backs. My client is already given payment to the Kiran Goswami's house at Vashi.
Yes.
Then he told to my client ki payment transferred to Trident Hotel. Then he went to Trident. He has given to a balance amount to Sam D'Souza, and Sam D'Souza went to other corner.
No, so you have your client, and you at this stage obviously have photographs of this money going to K.P. Goswami. Goswami spoke to somebody called Sam D'Souza. The allegation is somebody close to Shah Rukh Khan was also apparently part of this. What is this all about? What is this money exchange all about?
Even
is this
they are
a bribe given to Wankhede to drop the case? Is this some sort of money being exchanged to allegedly get Aryan Khan free? What is this all about?
Yes. They are trying to grab my... Their misuse, actually. I don't know that they are their aim. But they are misuse my client's nature and these things. They are pertaining to saying that he, my client to take a bag, take money from one spot of Mumbai, then come going to Vashi. he on 15 lakhs, 12 lakhs deposited with the Gosavi. Then balance 30 lakhs, 38 yes. lakhs. We went to Trident, Mr. Sam D'Souza was there, bag handed over to Sam D'Souza. And Sam D'Souza and Mr. Gosavi.
Who is Sam D'Souza?
Yeah, Sam D'Souza is well connected with in NCB officials.
All right, so very strong allegations over there. Priyanka Chaturvedi, yeah. Now, you know, this is a lawyer talking on record. The allegations are startling. Besides anything else, he says that there is photographic evidence of what he has said of money being exchanged in this particular case. Given this, what credibility exists as far as this investigation is concerned under this officer at this stage?
That is exactly the question I think the country is asking of this particular officer and NCB, which happens to be India's apex body, to cut down on the drug mafia and to ensure that the entire drug lords are brought to book. Unfortunately, for past 1.5 years, we've seen their interference in Maharashtra and how they have gone after individuals. And till now, and everyone that they have targeted, there hasn't even been a charge sheet which has been filed against them. While on the other hand, we have 3,000 kgs of drugs seized at the Mundra port, and we don't really hear about that at all. What these charges clearly show is a deeper conspiracy, and also there are questions asked of the credibility of the NCB. Are there a group of extortionists working out of Mumbai who are trying to extort money out of famous names so that they can, I don't know what the idea is, but I think what it does is damages the reputation and credibility of a central agency like the NCB, which is supposed to be addressing narco-terrorism coming from Pakistan and Afghanistan and an emboldened Taliban, vis-a-vis what we are seeing right now. So I think it is a matter of concern that whether it's the investigating officer, whether it is the agency, that it comes clean and maintains the transparency that it's supposed to do.
But Priyanka, you know, there is also this other aspect of the NCP's Nawab Malik releasing, personal details and personal documents. What Sameer Wankhede says, and I quote, the publishing of personal documents is defamatory, unnecessary, and it is an invasion of his family's privacy. What's more, he alleges that there was a previous case that he was looking at which involved somebody close to Nawab Malik. So there is this political battle as well being played out at another level altogether. He says he's being politically pressurized.
Whether there is political pressure or not, we will get to know in due course. However, this is the data that was released, the information that was released. It should be a cause for concern. We must understand whether we as elected representatives or people serving as Government of India employees, they need to keep their track record clear, and anyone caught with forged caste certificates have been barred, whether from an election or if they are elected, they are asked to step down. The same works for IRS, IAS officers. So there is a reservation in place, and if that reservation is being misused through forgery,
what is that,
then it needs to come to light.
To do,
so
Priyanka,
if your basis of being in the IRS, I'll tell you what it has to do. If the basis of your career is on the back of a forgery, then I think it is important that you come forward and come clean on that.
Okay, so he's denied that.
It is extremely important.
He's denied that categorically.
As Government of India employees and working on important cases, are not compromised like this.
Okay, Niranjan Shetty, I think the most startling evidence, and you know this part of it is clear, of something bizarre in the investigations, is when KP Gosavi, this mysterious private detective, is seen inside the office of the Narcotics Control Bureau. Let's play out that video and those of him actually taking a voice message or something from Aryan Khan. So let's play out that footage if we can, because it shows two things. On the one hand, it shows that it's there on our screen now. This is a man who is strong enough, influential enough to get a suspect in this case to talk onto a phone. And what he is wearing over here, Mr. Shetty, is not what he was wearing when he first released that selfie showing himself and Aryan Khan. So the point is, these were two separate occasions. What does this show of the investigation? This is inside the NCB office.
Vishnu, first of all, let me clear that I am no spokesperson of NCB.
Right. Sure.
Okay. So, I do not have the first-hand information what Mr. Gosawi did or what the NCP officers did on that particular night. Yes, I do understand, and I am of the view that whatever has been allegedly been shown, so, but then it is part of the investigation. Let the judiciary and the other higher officials decide the course of action whenever it comes to. Apart from that, the blames that certain panelists were making, the allegation that certain sections are being targeted, I personally feel if that would have been the case, then in such matter, they would have gone to Mr. Shah Rukh Khan's or that particular celebrity's house and they have planted all those things. Now, in this case, see, I personally do not have anything against Mr. Shah Rukh Khan or any other celebrity. But in this case, the Aryan Khan was caught somewhere in the mid of the sea, where he was part of that cruise, and then thereafter certain things happened. Now, again, whatever has been alleged about the kind of action that has been taken, of course, that, they are under the serious suspicion. They need to investigate what has happened. But what I personally feel now, just because it is subjudiced matter, the court is hearing out, let the court decide.
No, none of us are deciding, sir. But, you know, we're just trying to report what we see. A court will decide whichever way. But what we are seeing is absolutely bizarre.
Vishnu, my personal view is that suppose in this case, we are allowed, as far as fourth state is concerned, we are allowed to debate and discuss. But now, since this matter is before the court, let the judiciary take its call.
Okay, so that's going to happen one way or the other. But, you know, this video is startling, and I want to ask Umakant Mishra, former Assistant Director of the Narcotics Control Bureau, in a situation like this, when Sameer Wankhede is heading this investigation and video evidence clearly emerges of people, some private detective taking selfies with the person who he has apparently caught, the suspect in the case, Aryan Khan, on two separate occasions. Second occasion, he's put a cell phone, you know, to his mouth. What is the credibility of the investigation? Has the NCB not been compromised itself on the basis of what we've seen?
Vishnu, from the operational point of view, as far as my own experience is concerned, what I will say is that these things may not be what it seems. You see, we believe in intelligence parlance. Nothing is what it seems. It is only when you try to put some color or try to put some meaning, then some meaning emerges. So here, as an operational point of view, let me explain that anybody can come and give information to the agency, sure, any intelligence, sure, agency, because if you get some information, it is only out of some motive. So that motive may be something, anything, that can be anything. The only thing that it is, if it is verifiable information and you feel the reliability is there, you go and
I'm coming back.
The interesting things I'm telling you. So, now you have witnesses also. So, witnesses spending in time or presence in the office of the witness, presence of the witness in the office is nothing unusual.
Okay.
Giving an information is nothing unusual. What I find unusual in these cases is that normally as an intelligence agency, we keep the identity of the informer secret. Now somebody here comes and he declares in the media that he has given this information. So,
and he releases a selfie with him and the suspect. And
yes,
that is evidently okay.
So even that...
And he is physically seen handling... Another informer is physically seen handling Aryan Khan, you know, as he goes into the NCB office.
No, that's what I'm trying to explain you, Vishnu. Operationally, that might not look unusual at that point of time. But when you have the benefit of the hindsight and coming, there are many things interesting here. And I find everything about this case is disproportionate. Everything. Right from the informer or the witness declaring that he has given information, or the political interest, or the media interest, or even now the witness coming and telling that he has been made to sign some papers.
No, but sir, most respectfully, sir, I tend to disagree. I think that this is a case that needs to be looked at from the microscope. It's not disproportionate.
No, yes, I'm telling you that. That is why I'm telling you that.
Is the way it's happening. It's bizarre. I mean, this man, who's since disappeared, and against whom there was a lookout notice, he tweets photographs of this boy, Aryan Khan. After that, he is seen on a video. How are these getting out in the first place? Taking a message from Aryan Khan on a separate occasion, right? Then you've got Prabhakar Sahil saying that his life is at jeopardy over here and that money has exchanged hands. Basic question, Mr. Mishra, should somebody else not be looking at this case?
We don't know, you know. Yeah. Vishnu,
that's the question.
Try to appreciate.
Let somebody else look at the case.
I don't know. That is from the one side, the interpretation is that. From the other side, the interpretation is that this is a classic example of witness influencing. You see, right after 20 days and the timing and everything, matter is pending in the High Court and all that. Now an independent witness comes in.
So there are two sides to it.
Yes, there should be an investigation.
It's also the informants who are influencing. How can an investigation take
place?
That's
what I'm telling you. So that is why let there be investigation. There are two sides of the story. And the investigation
will
bring it out.
In this particular case, there seem to be many sides of the story. Tushar Khandare, let me come back to you. One more question. Why does your client feel so unsafe, number one, now? And B, the allegation is that if he was witnessing all of this, which was so wrong, why has it taken him more than 20 days to come on record?
Yes, of course. Actually, what happened? He was waiting for the agency's investigations policy. But there is no shown anything actual fact, not shown by the NCB in present case. Therefore, he was waiting since long. Then again, Mr. Gosavi was absconded. He was searching him, but he couldn't reply anything, Mr. Gosavi. Thereafter, he come to know, yes, there is something fishy and something my client was misused by them. Thereafter, he come to before authorities.
Okay.
Now, already we have already discussed these things. We have given
basically, he was looking at the case and then chose to come. That also is strange because the allegations are very, very strong. If he was seeing money being exchanged,
We have that proofs. We have already submitted that proofs.
Okay, so that's
the allegations are not there.
Priyanka, final question to you, and of course I'll come to Mr. Shetty after that. Do you believe that the police now need to take active cognizance of the complaint made by Prabhakar Sahil, and on the basis of that they need to start an investigation against the NCB?
So two things before I get into answering your question to what Mr. Mishra was saying. Absolutely, any tip-off coming from any part of the country, any part of the city, is the job of the NCB to ensure that that particular tip-off is looked into and whoever is responsible for it is, we get behind it. However, we have to look at what has happened. One of your witnesses is a BJP official. One of the witnesses, KP Gosavi, who has disappeared, who took a photo, who got into video calls, etc. He has disappeared. The third witness has come forward and said that there was some extortion that was being planned. So the entire investigation from any perspective, whether it is from the NCB perspective or whether it is from anyone who's watching this entire investigation unfold, there are questions that are raised from every angle possible. So there can be no defense that Mr. Mishra is coming up with. It has to be investigated. And yes, very clearly, I think we need to have an investigation and an SIT needs to be formed so that we figure out as to why it is that consistently from the state of Maharashtra, we are seeing an attempt being made to undermine the state, undermine the city in every possible manner, whether it's the ED, whether it's the IT, whether it's the CBI, and now the NCB. So this clearly shows a pattern that where central agencies are being used as tools, political tools to settle political scores.
Okay.
So let's just have an investigation. And if
all right, got it. I've got it. I've got
it
short of time, so I just want to go to Mr. Shetty for a last comment. Doesn't that make sense? Let there be an SIT, Mr. Shetty. Let there be an investigation in, you know, which is separate. What's wrong with that? And why delay that process?
I think personally, or my party would never say that we will be against any kind of investigation, irrespective whether it is related to Mr. Sameer Wankhede or related to Mr. Prabhakar Sai. Everything needs to come before the, not only before the media, but before the public. But having said that, I normally personally feel that, you know, basically all this Congress, NCP and Shiv Sena ministers, those who have been trying to project this specific Aryan case, has also been trying to very conveniently hide the corruption charges that was been leveled against Mr. Sharad Pawar and Uddhav Thackeray by Mr. Kirit Somani.
All right, so more political allegations over there. We'll get to that later on. And otherwise, we'll end up
so
discussing
funny.
Only. Sorry, Priyanka, out of time. We'll have to do this on another occasion. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Several questions, obviously, on this. On Ku Anup Thototu says, does the investigation into the drug case involving Aryan Khan seem to be going in the right direction? Nidhi says the investigators themselves are under investigation. Isn't this ironic? Well, we're going to quickly move on now to our next topic. The filmmaker Prakash Jha was roughed up, his face smeared with ink, on Sunday when a group of Bajrang Dal members went on a rampage on the sets of his web series Ashram, being shot in Bhopal. Now the Madhya Pradesh Home Minister has defended the action and says the use of the word Ashram in the series is offensive. And on anything controversial, filmmakers need to clear their scripts. That's not it. He's also objected to an ad showing a same-sex couple. He says there needs to be an investigation. In fact, he's ordered one as well. Joining us now to look at this, Mayank Tiwari, the well-known screenwriter. We're also joined by Geeta Bhatt. We'll be joined by Fauzia Arshi, the film director, as well. Mayank, when you come to a situation like this where there are physical attacks which take place, and every few months, unfortunately, we tend to discuss this sort of situation, do you believe that as a filmmaker, you can actually write what you want in this country anymore?
No, I don't think so. And I also feel that we cannot be very naive and innocent about it. I mean, there is a very strong sense of deja vu which this incident brings, you know. And it has happened in the past when, I think, Padmavat was the last example that comes to my mind immediately when a director was manhandled. And even then, it was done with a lot of impunity. So if I were to speak a little cynically, I would say that perhaps it's time we have to now accept it as some sort of an occupational hazard that, you know, we are writing a controversial show. We are writing a show in which some people can take offense. We are shooting it in a state, you know, where the ruling dispensation field agrees with the people who are offended. And perhaps we can get into some trouble. So I feel that it's quite shocking. I mean, actually, if you see it, shocking even doesn't describe it anymore, because everything happens almost as a script. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, no, I don't think we can. There are these, it's very clear what you cannot write about. You cannot write about religion. You cannot write about a certain kind of politics. You cannot write about a certain kind of ideology. And if you do, you please be ready to face the music. Then don't complain, which is what the Home Minister has said in his statements today.
Geeta Bhatt, this is the quote of Narottam Mishra, the minister. He says, I have an objection to the shooting of the web series Ashram that's taking place in Bhopal. Why do you portray the film scenes and hurt our sentiments? And then he says that, and I quote, if there is any scene which is objectionable, or if you have a story that hurts any religion, then first give that story to the administration and get permission and carry out shooting only after that. This is ludicrous. I mean, there's going to be a censor before a film is even shot. I mean, is this what we want in our country?
Well, Vishnuji, you see, if you look at these issues, you know, time and again we have seen that communities, when it comes to anything related to their culture or their religious sentiments, somehow, you know, people have objected in many ways. No one can justify, like, you know, that smearing of an ink is something which is justifiable. I'm not saying that. But time and again, it has happened for various reasons. For example, just some time back, a Shiv Sena worker had, you know, smeared a person in Maharashtra just because, you know, he called the chief minister as nalayak or something.
It happens about three or four times a year.
Yes, so this is something this is something which no one can pardon. It cannot be pardoned. But at the same time, whenever there are any kind of, videography, filming, where the sentiments of a particular community are hurt, then they respond in certain manner. We have seen how Maniratnam was hurled with a bomb when he portrayed in his film Bombay that a Muslim woman had fallen in love with a Hindu man. And we had seen that when Innocence of Muslims, a movie
which was directed sometime in the US, other than the fact that the film was called Ashram, what was so deeply objectionable about the content?
So there is a large section of community which says that since the word ashram, which is connected to our ancient culture and is basically, it identifies with something which is a very revered place, with a spiritual hermitage, naming and showing there that there are Hindu saints who are into raping, into drug dealing, is something which is offending people. Now, there are exceptions. It's not that such people do not exist, but it is not something which is a part of the mainstream, and that is there in every...
So a film has to cater to the mainstream.
A film has to cater to the mainstream as you define it. Pope Francis himself has felt ashamed and has said.
So I think you've hit the nail on the head.
Thousands of clergymen.
One second. Let me just go across to Fauzia, who also joins us at this stage. I think what Geeta mentioned over there is important, that this doesn't reflect the views of the mainstream. And I think this is perhaps what is most objectionable, but is very much a reality. If you don't make a film that subscribes to the ideology of a so-called mainstream, right, then you can't make it at all. Isn't that what this is all about?
See, this is all gundagardi, and this is all nonsense which is going on. Film industry is targeted because anybody who targets the film industry gets the fame in the media. So it has become a fashion. This is a very sad act, by Bajrang Dal once again, because this is not the first time this is happening. It's very sad that government, on the whole, the state governments or the central government, they are not really putting any measure in order to stop this nonsense which is happening. There's no law and order. Especially when it comes to the film.
Madhya Pradesh government says it was wrong. They've said that shooting the film was wrong.
That's what I'm saying. That who will they decide? Are they filmmakers? Are we interfering in their administration? No. They are leaders. They are political leaders. They are administrators. They should do their own job. What we are doing as filmmakers, we are making films, we are entertainers, we are the mirror of the society. We will definitely show what the society is doing. So
you don't feel scared saying that, Fauzia?
No, not at all.
So
you'll keep making
films the way you see fit?
Yeah, definitely. And one thing more.
And Mayank, would you keep writing films the way you see fit? Or do you feel that 100%. It's a lost cause?
100%. I will do what I feel is right. It is another matter if it will find backers. But I will do what I feel is right. 100%.
The other thing which happened was, I believe it was in the same press conference, where Narottam Mishra said that he has ordered an investigation on a same-sex couple in an ad where they were celebrating Karwa Chauth. Right? So this was his quote. Today they are showing lesbians at Karwa Chauth. Tomorrow they will show two males getting married. Why show material that hurts our sentiment? Which century is this? I mean, I don't know. Mayank, your thoughts?
My thoughts are same as yours. This is a very... But actually, the fact that we are discussing all this is also a very... It's a kind of ironic thing. It's a very ironic thing because ultimately... We know where the society really is going. We know where the world is really going. I mean, to say these kind of statements are made to provoke people into some sort of a regressive framework. That is the only idea behind it. Because overtly, they cannot say all this on an international platform that India does not... I mean, same-sex relationships have been decriminalized a long time back. So this, it's funny actually. I think they want to incite some sort of a... They derive some sort of a perverse pleasure when they incite people, they provoke people by making such statements. Because how does a same-sex couple, how does that outrage any religious, or how does that, you know, how is that even connected to any religious thinking is beyond me right now.
Geeta Bhatt, would you like to respond? Does the Home Minister of Madhya Pradesh not have anything better to do than to tell the police to investigate an advertisement showing a same-sex couple?
Well, you see, Vishnuji, I want to make 3-4 points on this. So please just
give me enough time
to speak, because it is 2-1. So I should get a little bit more time on this.
Please
First of all, I have my strong objection to this, bleach advertisement, because that itself, glorifies that it is the white skin, which dominates when it comes to expression of beauty.
Right.
And this is a totally colonized mindset.
Okay.
Right? And this is something which is very, very, it should be condemned. And even after 75 years of independence.
But he's not condemned that. He's condemned another part.
I am coming to that also. Second point is that this advertisement is showing a festival which is based on Hindu culture. And based on Hindu tradition. Now, it is not only that, it is also related to marriage, which is a religious sacrament, in Hindu marriages. Why is it that they could not portray this advertisement showing that marriage taking place between Christians or Muslims? Because very well it is known that as per the holy book of Christians or that of Muslims, sentiments they have for
So basically, Geeta ji, you would have been okay if this showed a Muslim same-sex couple or a Christian same-sex couple. But if it's a Hindu same-sex couple, then it's not right. Right? That's your point.
Give me 10 seconds more. I just want to put one point forward. It is only the Hindu culture which takes everybody into fault, including LGBT community. But you are again trying to bring exceptional as the mainstream. And thirdly, is it tenable?
Why is it
today
not legally?
Why is it untenable? Is same-sex relationship illegal?
Same-sex relationships are legalized in this country.
Vishnuji, it is showing that there are two women who are married. Does Indian law permit? My question is this: does it permit marriage of two people of the same sex legally? You please tell me that.
All right.
Tragically,
in our country, we've not reached that stage. I think is the answer. Whether that is against basic human rights or not is a larger issue. But Fauzia, but one second, Geeta ji, you.
Okay.
So Fauzia, respond to that. This doesn't reflect our values. And in the case of this particular advertisement, Geeta Bhatt says that same-sex marriage is not legal in India. Therefore, this doesn't work for us. How would one respond?
See, religion is all about love. And religion is not that conservative what is being portrayed by fanatics, what is being portrayed by so-called, the takedars of Hindu dharma or Muslim dharma. No, how will they decide that? Let people decide. It's not your property. Religion is not somebody's property. It is our personal matter. And it is all about love. Every religion teaches love. And such kind of advertisements are just portraying love, relationship.
Okay.
How can you... One thing more I would like to say here, Vishnuji, coming back to the main topic from where you started, that... I would like to see, I belong to Madhya Pradesh, I belong to Bhopal. And I was speaking before coming on the show, I was speaking to some of the person I know in the government department, and I said, what the hell is happening? I was planning, you are planning so much, 16 films are being shot the shooting is going on, and how will you, what are you doing? What is happening with this city? What is happening with us? He said, we don't know. We are trying to give all the protection. And is this the protection? No.
All
this
right.
Is
so
not
obviously clear. It's not.
And
it's
one
not...
thing, Vishnuji, one thing more.
I'm completely out of time. And Geeta, appeal, and Geeta ji has a point when she says that she's not been given as much time as the two of you.
One second. I will appeal all the filmmakers to boycott such states where all this nonsense is happening.
All right. Fair enough. You feel that there should be a boycott when something like this happens. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Nothing justifies an attack on anybody. We can keep debating this, but you can't go and smear somebody's face in the manner that this was done. Next on the show, a massive intelligence effort to get information on authorized and so-called unauthorized churches in Karnataka ahead of the anti-conversion bill. What is this all about?
Given to take a survey of all the churches.
Welcome back. A massive intelligence effort to get information on authorized and so-called unauthorized churches in Karnataka ahead of the anti-conversion bill is on. Is this being done to prevent forced conversions or is this interference with the church? That's what we're looking at. Joining us now, Dr. Peter Machado, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Bangalore. Thank you very much, Archbishop, for being with us. Now, the allegation is that there are forced conversions in the state. And presumably it's because of these forced conversions that churches need to be monitored. How would you respond to that?
Yes, Mr. Somo, I've heard about it. And in Karnataka, it's a big bogey now that there are forced conversions. I'm not aware where it is and how forced they are and what is their number also, because this is a big bogey that is coming up. And I don't think it is true. And if there are some stray incidents, surely the police and intelligence have their own means to find it out, but not blacklist the whole community to say that we are converting and we are en masse. Mass conversions are going on here.
Archbishop, the information that was sought on churches in the state is information you could have passed on in a matter of 5 minutes, right? It didn't require some sort of investigation.
Yes,
you have a list in front of you, right? Of halls and churches.
Yes, surely.
So this entire allegation of there being illegal halls and churches,
if there was something,
is that incorrect? Is that a figment of somebody's imagination?
I would say yes. It is surely a complaint that is made against us, which has no basis.
Sir, the Hosdurg BJP MLA, Gulihati Shekhar, has claimed that 15 to 20,000 religious conversions have taken place to Christianity in his constituency alone. He's from Hosdurg. Again, what do you make of that?
You know, I'm not very sure, because as per the Constitution, Article number 25, we can profess, we can propagate, and also we can make known of our religion. If the people are making it known in a good way, it is surely allowed. I say that there is no such thing as that we should not pray, proclaim our religion, just that we should not propagate our religion. The Constitution itself allows it. And Mr. Golihatti, he is making accusation of his own family. Do you think it is true that an MLA who has got so much security that someone should go to his house and carry his force, his mother, or give her inducements? Is it necessary? Is it possible at all? And just wearing certain crosses, perhaps some people are going about to certain books and certain pictures, that cannot be considered conversion. I think the High Court of Madras said that just wearing a cross or going to the church doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't signify that you have changed your religion. I think we in India, we have in peace with all the religions, with the Hindus and Muslims. And in this inter-religious atmosphere where we celebrate our feasts, I have told our people that we should celebrate also Deepavali because it's a symbol of light and darkness. It is surely a great feast for us. So also for Christmas, I find so many of the non-Christians coming and visiting our cribs. Should we say that this is conversion on either sides here? I don't think Mr. Golihatti or the other should make an accusation of that sort. And knowing another religion, studying about another religion, having the book of the religion, does not mean they have changed the religion. It is not so simple as that.
Archbishop, I'm told on the 19th of October, yes, there was an attack on a Christian prayer hall in Hubballi. Earlier, there was one on the 10th of September in Karnataka.
Yes.
Are prayer halls and churches being attacked?
Yes. In Hubli, there was an, I am told that one particular community people entered forcefully into one of our worship places and they were singing their own hymns or bhajans, whatever it is, and it was very embarrassing. And to, in a country like India, in a place like Hubli, which is a city, a smart city also, that such things should happen and can happen, it's frightening. Tomorrow, perhaps it's happening in the cities, what could happen in the villages and the interior places. I think our government, especially the Karnataka government, has to take into consideration that they don't allow these fringe elements or small groups to act and bring them a bad name. You know, Karnataka is a very peaceful state. We are all having good harmony among the Christians, among the Hindus. And I have told also our Christian institutions, especially in Bangalore, we have over 1,000 schools. They are just sort of, I would say, frequented by Hindus and Muslims in big numbers. Do you think conversion is going on there? In our hospitals, St. John's Hospital at one time had 900 COVID patients. And we have the St. Martha's, St. Philomena's, all our Christian hospitals. And during the COVID time, it was the easiest time for us if we wanted to make Christians.
Archbishop, I take the point.
But
that,
we will not
you know,
do it.
I mean, and the
we will
word
not do it.
You began with in answering my questions was, why is this bogey being thrown? I think that's a serious point which really needs to be looked at. Yeah. Archbishop, thank you very much for speaking to us. Thank you very much indeed, sir. We are now joined by Dr. Vamanacharya, the senior spokesperson of the BJP in Karnataka, and K. Rehman Khan, a former union minister for minority affairs. Thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Vamanacharya, besides anything else, is it fair that workers allegedly belonging to the Vishwa Hindu Parishad should barge into a Christian prayer hall in Hubli on the 19th of October? On the 19th of September, Hindu Jagran Vedike workers allegedly disrupt a prayer meeting in Karkala and Karnataka. It's not just it's violence. It's an attack.
Yes, one thing is such attacks are to be condemned. But look at what Christians are doing. Bernard Shaw had said long back that Christianity is a fraud. They do fraudulent activity and convert people to Christianity. They take people into their control.
Dr. Vamanacharya, these are your views, but I think in the interest of people across our country, I think it's best not to offend people of a particular faith or of other faiths for that matter.
But so, what are Christians doing every day?
By labeling an entire faith, which has billions of followers around the world, as a fake or a fraud, I think it's
dangerous.
What
are Christians doing every day? Every morning and evening, what they do, they get Hindus there, they criticize Hindu gods, they talk bad about Hindu religion and ultimately make them convert. An MLA like Gulihatti Shekhar and his mother were converted by fraudulent activity. Now she has come back to her religion. What is the situation that is happening? People who were in the country hardly less than 1% when we got independence are crossing 3% today. Why all this has happened? There is no place. Jesus had died 2,000 years back. And the Christianity is no more Christianity.
I'm sorry, but I don't think you can just attack an entire faith in this manner. Let's stick to the topic at hand.
The allegations of forced conversions, I think there's a difference between attacking an entire faith. The photographs,
and I'm sorry, that cannot be allowed. Let's talk about the particular issue.
How can Hindus keep quiet when they keep criticizing Hindu gods? Right. You tell me.
Mr. Khan, the point which is mentioned is that there are massive forced conversions. Is there any direct evidence of this in Karnataka?
There are. I told you the statistics.
Sir, I'm just asking Mr. Rehman Khan this
question.
Which
was just 3% has 0.3%.
I'm asking Mr. Rehman Khan. Mr. Khan, go ahead.
Several states in Northeast have become completely Christian states.
Dr. Bhavanacharya, hold your peace, sir. Yeah, go ahead. Dr. Rehman, Mr. Rehman Khan, go ahead. Yes.
Mr. Vishnu, I was very hurt by the way Mr. Vamanacharya is alleging a particular religion. It is not in the good taste anyhow. It is in your channel. I think you have rightly said that we have no right to criticize a religion as a fraud or anything. But no forceful conversion should take place. No religion will permit forceful conversion. I agree that there should not be any forceful conversion. But there should be progress. There is law if there is a...
But Dr. Vamanacharya, you know, it's a bit unfair if you don't let him answer.
I will answer you. You are right. You see, I am saying forceful conversion doesn't come under the purview of Article 25. Let us be very clear about it. No forceful conversion in religion, no religion. Hinduism will not permit, Islam will not permit, Christianity also will not permit. Or giving some gratification and bringing to them, that is no religion at all. Let us understand this basic principle. Now, if there are instances of forceful conversion, law will take its own course, not the people. You see, for centuries we have lived together. Christianity is existing, Islam is existing, Buddhism is existing, several religions are existing, and Hinduism is existing, and it is one of the major religions. All the other religions admit it. So there should not be, if there is forceful conversion, yes, you have law, you have this thing, you can complain. But why taking law into own hands? I have not come across, yes, if there are instances, it's coming in paper. It is as is what is said that 20,000 people has been converted in one particular village. I cannot understand it.
Yeah, what is the evidence of that?
It is not possible.
What is the evidence of that, Dr. Bhavanacharya?
There is no evidence. Right. 20,000, one or two incidents can be there and which can be tackled by law. But 20,000, it is exaggeration figure. And then this will create tension within the society.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right? And I think we need to, just ensure that there is no tension. And we need to ensure that we respect all faiths in this country, not refer to any of them as a fraud or a fake or anything of that sort. I'm out of time. I need to wrap this up at this stage. But what are these investigations on the number of churches and prayer halls in Karnataka all about? Is it really necessary when a list of all of this, the Archbishop says, could have been provided? If there are 20,000 forced conversions, what is the proof of that? Are there any clear answers to that? We're out of time. We'll take this short break.